Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to Red Sky Radio, the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. I should correct that. God bless you today. Holy moly, man, what a packed program. The good news I have to start with is this. God is in control. You know, what we see now, I know it's not the way it ends up. It's not necessarily the long-term trajectory. But whatever it is, it comes out right in the end. And I have to tell you, that's what holds me together when we are challenged with what we're challenged with is the fact that he is in control. There are certain events, and I hope you get a chance to listen to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter, because I talk about the sovereignty of God in the current events. I don't talk much about current events. In that program, I talk about the sovereignty. In this one, I don't talk much about the sovereignty. I'm talking about the current events. They're really kind of like the A side and the B side of an old 45, which I know all about, as many as I have. But this is, I don't know how people that are not of faith can handle this. Let's say conservatives. The left is demented anyway. We got Joe Dementia Biden and Cammy Dementia Harris. I mean, goodness sake, she lies out of every orifice of her body. But for those who are conservative, kind of by nature, they're independent, resilient, but they don't have faith, this must be unduly trying, wondering how it's going to turn out. Well, in the short term, I don't know. Midterm, I don't know. Could be we just simply go down the toilet and we just become one more nation that turns its back on Israel, for which there is a very special curse for it, and we'll pay the price. Maybe I don't, maybe you don't, but maybe our kids, maybe our grandchildren, who are one of the reasons I continue to do this program. But, quick overview, our world this week. So it's just released the other day since October 7th of last year, 1 year and a couple of days, there have been over 10,000 anti-Semitic incidents. Over 10,000. How many anti-Muslim incidents have there been? Well, you could probably scratch off a couple of zeros at the least. But yet that's all what Cammy and Tampon Tim want to talk about is anti-Islam and Islamophobia, because they're desperately trying to get back those votes that they lost in Dearborn, Michigan, that they think might make a difference, because for reasons, honestly, I don't really understand why some Muslims would be voting for Trump when Trump is a far stronger ally and supporter of Israel. I don't quite get that. But maybe the point is they're not going to be voting for either one. I'm not sure. Okay, another thing this week. France employs an arms embargo on Israel. Then Macron, is that is how you say it? Macron? It's close to macaroni, but that would make him Italian, wouldn't it? I guess it's Macron in the French, because the N is silent, sort of. It's got a nasal sound to it. And in Italian, it would be macaroni, I think. Anyway, he calls Netanyahu a disgrace. Somebody fighting for the salvation and preservation of their country. Somebody who needs to, you know what, it's just not time for an equivalent response, because they are vowed to push this into the sea. They want to eliminate and kill every single Jew. They don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution. And in that one-state solution, Israel doesn't exist. So why leave it on semi-automatic? When you're in defense of yourself, your family, your country, put it on automatic and take them out. Cammy, I hate anybody with brains, Harris, refuses to call Netanyahu an ally. All she has is this dumb cluck response that any retard could come up with. We need a ceasefire. We need a ceasefire. We need a ceasefire. You know what? Why don't you cease firing, Harris? Well, next story. This is just in the last week. The U.S. is looking to pay Israel to not attack Iran's nuclear sites, which largely they have because of Barack Hussein Obama and the billions of dollars he sent over there in cash, which we talked about last week. First of all, doesn't this constitute bribery? Wouldn't this be a reason for impeachment of everybody that's involved? You are going to try to bribe Israel into not attacking the sites in Iran, which we have in great part funded. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Next one. This isn't quit. China. I was ready at any moment in time to blockade Taiwan. Let's see how Cammie, no brains, no guts, no morals, Harris would deal with that. Well, she couldn't. She's just going to talk about being raised in a middle-class neighborhood and family. So, a logical question here then becomes, so what is China waiting for? If they are ready to blockade Taiwan at any moment, what are they waiting for? This is easy. People say, well, they wait, what? That's a no-brainer. They're waiting for Harris to be elected because they know they got an incompetent, nimrodic bozo brain in office and with no guts, no brains, no nothing. All she knows how to do is have sex and fornicate her way into other offices, and she marries some guy who, as we now find out, is a domestic violence guy with other women. He's basically a wife beater towards those who aren't his wife and puts him down, and he's a sexual harasser in his law firm. Well, you know, she apparently found out a commensurate piece of slime to finally get married to because she dumped Willie Brown when he was no longer advantageous to the advancement of her career. Fact. As Biden would say, no joke, no joke. Fact. That's all China's waiting for. A Harris victory. You can kiss Taiwan goodbye. Doesn't it tell you something that the people in Taiwan support Trump? Doesn't it tell you something that the people in Russia support Harris? Does it surprise you that China wants Harris? Does it surprise you that Israel wants Trump? Check this out. Also this week, survey, well-vetted, broad-based survey in Israel among its citizens. Who do you want to be president of the United States? I will tell you, 22% had no thought on it. Either they were undecided or they just simply hadn't thought about it. Maybe they got, you know, they're busy with other things. 54% want Donald Trump. 24% want Harris. That's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I mean, goodness sakes, Israelis know who their friends are. And it's not Harris. They know Harris hates her, hates them. They know that despite the fact that she's married to this loser who's coincidentally Jewish, but he's only Jewish culturally, if even that. He's not religiously Jewish, not in the least. She found somebody to take her that was wealthier than she was, and that's how she bootstraps her way into a financially elite group. But like I said, the last thing here before we move on is this enigma about why so many Palestinians are voting against Harris. And the only reason I can think of is that she's trying to not alienate the Jewish vote. Why does she not want to alienate the Jewish vote? Because Jews have paid her a ton of money historically into the campaigns of Democrat candidates. She doesn't want to risk that. But she's somehow trying to play both sides here and get a Palestinian Arab American vote. I mean, what was it? In fact, I guess it was the mayor of Dearborn, which is an Arab community, endorsed Trump. But she doesn't want to lose them. They have been also historically supportive of Democrats. So she's got two groups, Muslims slash Arabs slash Palestinians, wherever they land in the mix, and then Jews, both of which she's actually at risk of alienating, but she can't pick a horse and ride it. She can't do it. She is like the person who just desperately tries to remain middle of the road and then is shocked when they get run over by a large Kenworth. Couldn't happen to a nicer woman, huh? So Biden, he just has no class. But he comes out and he says that there is a growing distrust of Israel by this administration. Interesting. Does that tell you a lot? There's a growing fame, fortune, and trust, admiration, and exaltation among American conservatives, particularly American Christians, for Israel. I'm all in for them. Toast Gaza, toast the Hezbollah, toast Iran. Get rid of the nukes when you have the chance to get rid of them. Don't wait for a defensive situation. They've been offensive. They only got one thing. We hate Israel. We hate Jews. We want to get rid of every Jew that lives anywhere and go back to their original kind of founding document. They love the concept of Aliyah, the return of the Jews to Israel, because they said that'll make it a lot easier to just push them all into the ocean and get rid of all of them in one fell swoop. How much of that would you have to hear from anybody before you decide to take, let's just say, major preemptive action? So not only is Biden out there saying he's growing, increasingly distrustful of Israel, then he calls Netanyahu a son of a bitch. Yeah, USOB. That's what it stands for. Not son of Barack. He has none. Calls him an SOB. Why is he mad? People are wondering, why has he gotten so angry? Another really, really easy question. I'll tell you why. Because Democrats hate anybody and they get and everything. They get mad at everything and everyone that they what? Cannot control. Can't control Netanyahu. Bless you, Netanyahu, for not listening to the windbags that form the Harris-Biden administration. It's not the Biden-Harris administration. It's the Harris-Biden. He's turned everything over to her. She said she can't find anything different that she would do than what Joe has done, and Joe's been an absolute disaster. She's trying to hang on to the coattails of a guy who has no coattails. He's just got dirty underwear. And why would you want to grab onto that? Well, she doesn't want to distinguish herself either from Biden because she can't. Because now she would be forced to say the things that she really believes, which she has neither the guts nor the brains nor the morals to do. Now, Netanyahu can't tell Biden to stick it where the sun doesn't shine, as much as I'd like him to just go do it. But he is doing the next best thing. And what's that? What do you do when you have nothing that you can reasonably say or want to say to somebody who's made an issue of you? The same thing Jesus did when he was before his accusers. What did he say? Nothing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. He doesn't say anything. He ignores them. He totally ignores Biden in here, which, of course, ticks him off even more. While Harris is just busy saying, ceasefire, ceasefire, which is, of course, the beginning and the end. It's the sum total of her whole Middle East policy plan. Ceasefire, ceasefire. Who's fighting? I don't care who's fighting, but ceasefire. Doesn't matter who's fighting, ceasefire. Doesn't matter who's right or wrong, ceasefire. Doesn't matter which country may be obliterated unfairly and all that, ceasefire. That's all she can say because she has to stick with really simple statements. Otherwise, we just get the incoherence, which were made up her 60 Minutes interview. Jokingly, Babylon Bee, you knew they were going to work their way into this message at some point, came out with a story that they actually had to film 761 hours of coverage with Cammy Harris to emerge with 60 minutes of semi-coherent speech. Okay, I want to go back here because it leads into the next piece about why are the Democrats mad at everyone and everything that why they're mad at Netanyahu, and that's because they get mad at anything and everything that they can't control. We move right along here to Hillary Clinton, who I like it when stories introduce her as twice failed Democrat White House hopeful. Because for years she's demanded that Democrats have control of the press. She's demanded it. She's worked it. She's paid for it. The Steele dossier. She pays for the subversion and perversion of social media. And then you have those that are just simply lost anyway because they're stuck on evil that would support an evil woman like this. She's got control of the press. You got it, Hillary, baby. But now she's added something to it. As one writer said here, Bob Unruh, I got to quote the guy. He said, quote, Hillary Clinton says the quiet part out loud. The Dems control the press, but now she says the press needs a constant narrative about the danger that Trump poses. The press, according to Clinton, is trying to be the press. We're trying to be objective. Oh, gosh, what a lie. The liars here. But she goes on to say this in the interview on CNN, says that if we don't control, we need to censor. I got to say this right. We need to censor digital content so that we do not lose control over social media. Listen to that. Number one, she's admitting control over social media by saying we will lose control over social media if we don't have digital censorship. So first of all, she admits it. She doesn't have any problem admitting it. This, why don't you just come out, Hillary? I got to be nicer here. I'm trying to curb my words a bit. Just guess I'll call her Hillary. Hillary Billery. Why don't you just come out and say, I love being a communist. I love being a socialist. I love being a totalitarian dictatorial tyrant because it allows me to just simply control the media, national media, and to have complete and total control over social media, because otherwise, if we don't control social media, guess what? We lose control. Already admitting therein that that's all she's about. It's why Unruh says that she's saying the quiet part out loud. The Democrats don't even try to hide the fact that they want a censored world of control environment so that they can just chum around with the rest of the global elites and put these crazy conservatives to shame and out to the pasture, and we take away their microphone. And if we can't take away their microphone, we'll cut off their electricity so the mic isn't mic'd, and we'll take their batteries if it's battery operated. He said, Unruh says, Democrats see the internet as a propaganda tool rather than a medium for the open exchange of information, warned a social media guy by the name of Tom Callahan. He said, Clinton called for the federal government to imitate states like California and New York to place more controls on social media. If, and this is what, and back to quoting Clinton again, if the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose control. Well, who is we? Who are we? Who is we? I guess we have to be, who are we? That's a question. That's also the right grammar, I think. Keith Outen said, quote, they're all telling us what their goal is. Only totalitarian governments use the phrase, we must ban free speech or we lose control. Oh, boy, oh, boy. They admit it. They are not afraid of admitting it. They're proud of it. Their game plan is just front and center. And, you know, we've just come off this hurricane, Milton. You know what? This is kind of an aside. But why do they name it Milton? I mean, why would they name a hurricane after Milton Berle? I mean, there was nothing funny about a hurricane. But there's also nothing funny about Milton Berle. Well, anyway, I digress. But Harris is just completely and totally tone deaf, brain dead. So we've got all the people from Hurricane Helene that have been ignored, and Trump goes and sees them, gives workers, linemen, free lodging at one of his hotels in Florida. Harris, who's hobnobbing with a porn crowd out in L.A. and raising money from libtard, wealthy billionaire libtards, at that time contends that Trump is just doing it for politics. Well, what's more political than being out and hobnobbing with leftist libtards for their money while other people are suffering? This woman has no empathy. She has no charisma. She can memorize lies fairly well, but that's the problem with lying. Lying requires that you then tell more lies that cover the previous lies, which is why even secular leftist-leaning media people saying this woman is word salad. She's incoherent. She is a moron. She's a ditz. And yet we hate Trump so much we're still going to vote for her. So what does she do? We got Hurricane Helene victims that are suffering. And what does this bag of crap roll out? She said at that time, quote, the people of Lebanon are facing an increasingly dire humanitarian situation. I'm concerned about the security and well-being of civilians suffering in Lebanon and will continue working to help meet the needs of all civilians there. To that end, the United States will provide $157 million in additional assistance to the people of Lebanon for essential needs such as food, shelter, water, protection, and sanitation to help those who have been displaced by the recent conflict. James Woods, the actor, hardline conservative, great guy, great actor, great conservative, one of these guys who doesn't give a rat's rear end what Hollywood thinks about him. He tells it like he thinks. He says, quote, this has to be fake. Even Harris, the gold standard of stupidity, isn't stupid enough to post this. Certainly not while North Carolinians are pulling the bodies of their neighbors from the wreckage. It is simply inconceivable. Then he goes on to thank her for setting the gold standard of stupid. And writers who are just they are almost apoplectic about this thing. He said, one wrote and said, please, please, tell me there is a town called Lebanon, North Carolina, that she's talking about. Tom Cotton, Republican Senator of Arkansas, wondered about an explanation for giving money to a country overrun by Iranian-backed terrorists that hate us and hate Israel. Goes on to say the people of Lebanon have indeed suffered badly at the hands of Iran. So why are we giving $157 million to a semi-failed state overrun by Iran-backed terrorists? Let the Ayatollahs fix their own mess. But Cammie gives the finger and urinates on the people and the victims of Hurricane Helene, saying, and through FEMA, saying, sorry, we spent all of our money indoctrinating illegal aliens into woke business and woke world and helping them with their transgender surgeries and all of that stuff. We don't have any money for you, your citizens. But, oh, by the way, these people in Lebanon, we're going to give them $157 million in additional assistance. That's not a flat number. That is additional number. If she's elected, we are of all people, as a country, as a whole, and she's elected legitimately, which was my worst fear, is not that the election would be stolen. We know Democrats lie, cheat, and steal. But if she was actually legitimately elected, We are of all people the most foolish, the most stupid, the most ignorant, the most deserving of getting whacked. I mean, let me just ask you something here. 20 years ago, would you have heard what I'm about to say? 10 years ago, would you have ever heard? 5 years ago, would you have heard the following sign of gross civil degradation, apostasy, you name it? Who would have dared to say what Don Lemon, number one queer in charge of CNN? Well, no, he's not on CNN anymore. What Don Lemon suggested, that the Virgin Mary's husband, Joseph, was queer. And that's the reason he didn't have sex with Mary. Had nothing to do with the angel. Unbelievable. This is not spoken out of ignorance. It's spoken out of spite, out of mockery, to try to justify his own sin of queerdom. I mean, he says, well, maybe Joseph was this sort of guy who said, and then people just started started laughing like crazy, that, well, I'm speaking as Joseph. I don't want her to die, and I don't want her to be stoned to death or whatever because she got pregnant and she's not married, and then I am not married or whatever. So, okay, this is kind of perfect. Yes, and so this is perfect. And he goes on to talk about, I'm just saying, well, maybe he's queer. Maybe he's light in the loafers. Could you have heard that 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago? If evil had not been mainstreamed in this country. I'm jumping around a bit, but you can tell where I'm going with all of this. This just... unbelievable. I mean, okay, I'm back to Harris. She admits that she's not changed anything. Not changed a doggone thing. And then to try to, I have to tell you, she came out and said, this is the other thing, that she was elected the Democrat nominee. No, she wasn't. She said that. She claimed she was the, quote, elected Democrat nominee. She didn't get one stinking vote. Harris, you lying. Whatever. But she comes out because we know that she hates people who have guns unless they're leftists. She said the other day, I have a gun. You know what this reminded me of? It sort of reminded me of this old movie with Woody Allen, Take the Money and Run. He's a guy who's a failure at everything. And then he tries to commit a bank robbery, and he even blows that. So he writes this little note, handing it to the clerk, to say, I have a gun. Same thing that Harris said. But the bank teller can't read it because the penmanship is so lousy, and says, you said, I have a gub? What's a gub? Well, his penmanship was so bad, the teller thought that the N was a B. And they start arguing about whether he has a gun or a gub. This is how I look at Harris. So when she says, of course, I have a Glock, and I fired it. You know what? She lies about everything. I would like to come back to her and say, well, what model Glock is this? Then she can't answer, but if she does, there's a good chance it's actually an illegal gun as an alleged assault weapon in the state of California, and she's carrying it illegally. Next question. How many times did you fire it? What caliber is it? Is it an auto, a semi-auto, or a revolver? I don't think Glock even makes revolvers. How many times? Look, you could blow her up. Figuratively, of course. Rhetorically here. With questions that would show her that everybody that she just lies yet again. She can't even get a I have a gub line straight. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I want to be a good man. I do like I should, man. I want to be the kind of man the mirror likes to see. I want to be a strong man and admit that I was wrong, man. God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I want to be.
Wow, what a great song. Also, one of my prayers. I'm sure not there yet. Maybe you guys are. I'm trying to catch up with you if you are. Okay, so we had the Fed, a few weeks ago, lower the by 50 basis points. 50 basis points is 0.5%. Thinking that it will kickstart some things. And why? Because Powell is a Democrat, and it was nothing but driven by political pressure. Isn't it amazing that gas prices are now also too suddenly coming down the 30 days before the election? The Fed rate cut just happens. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. No, things still suck. Ask the people who are still trying to buy things. Look, to get a good hamburger, I'm paying $7 a pound. I'm not buying the stuff that you can get for about $4, which comes from a multitude of different countries. You really have no idea what's in it, but that's a whole nother story. Okay, I wanted to come back with something a little bit soft from the break, but now we're back to the hardcore Harris stuff. Here we go. You ready? So Harris does this interview with his raunchy sex and relationship podcast. And as she avoids all sorts of other news outlets because she can't think on the spot. She's a numbnut. She's a nimrodic bozo brain dodo bird. I'm being kind. So what does she do? She shows up on a raunchy, sexually explicit podcast called Call Her Daddy. I'm not kidding. I got the cover shot. I don't want to listen to her. She's on there. And it's amazing. She doesn't have any notes. She doesn't have a teleprompter. She's entirely comfortable in a porn environment. She still hasn't had a formal press conference. Nope. While Trump has had, five of them just since the beginning of September? Well, I got to bring him back in. The Babylon Bee, here we go. This was supreme. This was rich. The title of this thing is Kamala Doesn't Require Teleprompter for First Time Ever While Going on Sex Podcast. Oh, my gosh. No wonder. I mean, she'll be the fornicator in chief if she got elected. And her husband, who's the sexual predator and harasser. Goodness sakes. I mean, the sick. But you see, to the Democrats, that's normal. But, you know, our conservative person, Christian, certainly couldn't get by with it. They're held to a higher standard. I get that. So when it shows up on a Republican dossier, if you will, Republicans dossier, conservative, you know what? It gets blasted everywhere. We do get held to a different standard. And that's just the way it is. You know, we have to try to be beyond reproach. And so that if we can be beyond reproach, they're still not done. They will lie and lie and lie some more. But that's all they can do. You know, what can they really do? So I want to go back here to the importance of Elon Musk's I covered it last week. I say back to it. I touched on it briefly. So we have, in conjunction with Hillary Clinton's comment about we control the press, but now we need to control social media or we will lose control. You see, it's not we not happy with 60% control or 75. She said we will lose total control. We want only total control suffices for the left. It's what the absence of total control will cause the breakup and bringing down of communism and socialistic republics when anybody else has an opinion, a comment, the truth, or statements that can actually get disseminated among the people. It's why China has to block the internet coverage into its country. It can't afford to have the truth come in. No, they're done if the truth comes in. They may not have guns, but try 500 million people with big, heavy sticks. They could probably do some damage. But this is what's happening. The future of democracy in America actually is in the balance. And I don't even really like using democracy. We're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. I wish I could take the time to explain the difference. It's important. But what do we have? We have Gavin Newsom signing a law outlawing voter ID in California. Outlawing voter ID? Well, if that's the case, maybe a whole bunch of conservatives from Nevada and Arizona ought to rush over there and vote. Why not? What the hey? And to stop the effort of ensuring that only citizens can vote, the Harris-Biden regime's DOJ is suing the state of Alabama to stop its purging of non-citizens from the voter rolls. Oh my gosh. So I didn't catch it live. I caught it because I'm working. Elon Musk's presentation in Pennsylvania at the Trump rally. But he went on to also say on X, he posted essentially what he said there, but I'm going to quote from it because this is pretty amazing. That the fact that this guy is so full bore 100% for Trump is truly a godsend. I don't agree with him on all the social issues, but right now he's just busy about trying to save the country, as is Trump. He said, and I quote, "Very few Americans realize that if Trump is not elected, this will be the last election." And it will, he's right. Continuing, "Far from being a threat to democracy, Donald Trump is the only way to preserve democracy. America is becoming a one-party state. And when it does, like California, any measure of democracy is over. The only elections will be Democratic Party primaries," which I'm going to interject myself, having run for office in California 3 times. That's true. It's a one-party state. He goes on to say, "This already happened in California many years ago following the 1986 amnesty." Can you make the connection without explanation? "The only thing holding California back from extreme socialism and suffocating government policies is that they know that people can still leave the state and yet remain in America." I got to interject here. So what he's saying is the only thing holding this together, the only thing holding back Governor Newsom, Governor Greaseball Newsom, the man, if he just simply reduced in half the axle grease on his hair, could cut his own personal carbon footprint in half. They know that if they go too far, too fast, people will continue to leave the state like Musk, take his billions of tax revenue out of that state, and let this California just sink under the weight of its own debt. Going back to Musk here, once the whole country is controlled by one party, then there will be no escape. There'll be no other states to go to. Everywhere in America will be like the nightmare that is downtown San Francisco. So I encourage people to leave the state. I do, because there are not enough there to make a difference, but there are enough good Californians that can make a difference in neighboring states to have them stay red and form maybe a basis for what possibly could be part of the new United States, if that's what it comes to. And here's yet another reason to be considering the secession. See, what Musk kind of missed in that state, in his statement, that there'll be no place to go, because if the whole country turns socialist, there won't be any states to flee to. What he misses is that if there are no states to flee to, then a state, not the people, the state needs to flee. When you don't have any place to go, then you strike freedom right where you're standing. Sort of like the American Revolution. Is it the second American Revolution that's coming? I don't know. Time will tell. We certainly are getting closer to that. But it will never happen as long as you have too many leftist Californians kind of polluting Nevada, Arizona, and Texas. You need, and I think the majority of the people that leave are good people. I really, truly think that. But there needs to be a core of resilience and resistance when the socialist slash communist Harris regime would take over, if in fact they are successful. And facilitating the absolute abysmal conclusion to the United States as we know it is Tampon Tim Walz and his statement the other day, which has been fully supported by Harris. He goes to Michigan, and she has allowed her vice president to promise, this is a promise, that the religious community, they only talk about Islamophobia and anti-Islam comment. They don't say anything about anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, no. They don't give a rat's rear end about that. But they're concerned about the United States being allied with Israel. That is what Harris is concerned about, because she thinks it's going to cost her Muslim votes. But Walz comes out and says the following, quote, I hope you're sitting down. This is the world that awaits you if Dumb and Dumber are elected. But also known as evil and eviler. That's not a word, but more people are saying stupider, which is, well, anyway, quote, Vice President Harris and I are committed that this White House will continue to condemn in all forms anti-Islam, anti-Arab sentiments being led by Donald Trump. It's a bunch of crap. But continuing, but more importantly, a commitment that Muslims will be engaged in this administration and serve with us side by side. Did you hear that? Hey, forget Minneapolis, forget Dearborn, forget all these cities where there are Muslim concentrations. They're going to be in the White House serving side by side, welcomed by these two bozo brains who hate Christianity. What blasphemy that Harris even has the gall to say that she's Baptist. All the Baptists listening to this, I'll give you a couple of seconds to run to the window, throw it open, and barf. That she would say this, the blasphemy. So, coming here from, quoting from, I think this is a Breitbart piece. No, I'm sorry, it's WorldNet Daily. They go on to say, not only have they not said anything about Jews, have they ever said that they'd work side by side with Christians? Well, they're not. So they get convicted of their sin, so that'll never happen. They'll never be side by side with Jews because, well, they just hate Jews to begin with, and they only want control. And if the whole world is going against Israel, guess what? They want to be with the whole rest of the world. They want to be part of the elite that control the world. Quoting from WorldNet Daily, this promise comes from a candidate who, in his current position as governor of Minnesota, repeatedly has advocated for an anti-Christian agenda. He schemed for literally unrestricted abortion. He's authorized a law allowing the state to take custody of children in order to give them transgender body mutilations, and has essentially banned Christians from teaching in public schools because he requires all instructors to advocate for the LGBT agenda. Gateway Pundit writes, amid growing concern among party strategists that the conflict in Gaza may be hurting their support among American Muslims, Walls joined the Islamic advocacy group M-Gage, not N-Gage, but M-Gage Action, to promise that they will have an equal voice in policymaking should the Democratic ticket win in November, end quote. Kiss us, U.S., which could also be Kiss U.S., Kiss us, the U.S., goodbye. This is absolutely unbelievable. He's joining a Muslim group as part of the promise to help assure that they will be side by side in the policy making. What do you think would be the policy that these Muslims come up with side by side with Timmy Tampon regarding Israel? Run them into the sea. Who needs them? Pull our support. Why are we spending $3 billion a year in aid? Blah, 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 blah. And then look out. This country will get judged. Not just by what we've done and what we've done, but because we have known better. To whom much is given, much is required. It's a feature of the law. This is where the law comes in. Even in the civil law, in the criminal law, there's differences based on what a person knows. No, the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse, but if you do something ignorantly, it bears a lesser consequence than if you do something with a willful, wanton, and reckless attitude. It's a feature of the law. You accidentally shoot somebody, it's negligent homicide. You kill them, it could be first or second degree murder. Person's still dead. This is beyond belief. And you know what I have to say? If these are really true Muslims, because in Detroit, the Muslims there are the ones that have come against the queer agenda in the schools. They said, don't look. Don't go sodomizing our kids because these Muslims have more morals than what the average Democrat has, for sure. That's a no-brainer. But they have more morals than, frankly, what some Christians have the guts to even stand up for. So let's say they are side by side. So what are they going to say? Well, Timmy, what are we going to... Tim says, what should we do here? Well, you know what, Timmy? Those things about those transgender body mutilations, I think we ought to throw those slime bags off a 10-story window, just like we threw the sodomites off 10-story windows in the Middle East, because that's what we do, and we also go out and we kill the abortionists. Okay, Tim, what do you think? Not knowing... This guy is so stupid and so immoral, he will not know that he's actually allied himself, with the exception of the issue of Israel, he's allied himself with those who have moral positions that are 180 degrees the contrary from what the average Democrat has. Now, contrast this with Trump. So Trump's expressed strong support for Israel. It's that alone is one reason to elect him. I mean, during his first term, he moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. He then recognized Jerusalem as the capital. He put together marvelously, almost magically, but certainly, what's the word I'm going for here? Mysteriously, I guess, is one of them, the Abraham Accords, the key peace agreements involving Israel and multiple Arab neighbors. Now, the Reuters report has said Muslim groups have not supported Trump, though some have, but nor have they given to Harris so far the backing that they want. And some are voting for Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. I will tell you, anybody that collects a gets a Muslim or Palestinian vote other than the Democrats, that is a plus. And this is a bit of a repeat from a couple weeks ago. The Democrats, ultimately, while they are evil through and through, their goal for those who are actually the elites, use the rest of the Democrats as useful idiots for their goal of establishing global control. It's been called the dystopian nightmare of the UN gaining control over the whole world, which then will, of course, produce and forge a leader, ultimately the Antichrist, to rule and reign. And it does say all nations will come against Israel. I just want to do my part to forestall that event. You know, I don't know what happens multiple generations down the line if the Lord should tarry, the end times tarries with great-great-great-great-grandchildren. They're beyond my control. I don't know them. I can get down to grandchildren, hopefully great-grandchildren, bond personally, spiritually, and emotionally with those of my lineage to help encourage and teach them to support the Lord no matter what happens, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem no matter what happens, to pray for the preservation of Israel's territorial integrity no matter what happens and no matter who's pointing a gun in their face. If they will die, they will die for the cause. Worth dying for. Being faithful to the word of the Lord. Isn't that what David said when he ran down into the field where Goliath was making fun and mocking the Hebrews who were hiding behind rocks and in trees and were in caves? What did he say? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Isn't this something worthy to stand up for? Well, just an inclination of just where the UN is going is that it demands immunity for its employees, UN employees, that are now confirmed as complicit aiders and abettors in the October 7th massacre of the almost 1,200 Jewish citizens and the taking of hostage of hundreds. I mean, I've seen the photos, I've seen the videos here of UN employees killing, dragging dead bodies off to the side of the road. It's unbelievable. And you know, as bad as this is, the United Nations has done it with what? The backing of the United States Department of Justice, which filed a document in U.S. court arguing that the UN employees should be immune from prosecution for killing Jews. That's right. The UN claims that its UNRWA employees are immune for their participation in the massacre. Merrick Garland backed the UN's statement and their position in court. It said, you can't do this. They are they're immune. So why does the UN even have immunity to be able to participate in willful, wanton killing? Why do only they have immunity? But they want to hold Israel accountable for self-defense in the killing of those who tried to kill them. So the UN participates and funds, in part, the attack in Gaza. We, in part, fund the attack by Hamas against Israel by funding the UN. And then we stand up for the UN publicly and in court to state that their employees are immune from any prosecution for participating in a global arms-based, I mean, all arms against Israel. You see why we need Trump. We're not, like one writer said, we're not talking about unpaid parking tickets here in New York City for these employees of the UN. At issue is the participation of hundreds of UN employees at various levels of seniority in the worst anti-Jewish pogrom in 80 years. 10%, 14,000 of its Gaza staff were involved. Oh, my goodness. Pray. Pray. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Remember, sit tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ, America. See you next week.